Welcome to another edition of the Home Improvement Show, where Walter Assey, president of Renovco, answers your most pressing questions in terms of your home improvement projects, your questions, your quandaries, your concerns. Have you started a project? Did you mess it up just a little bit? That's okay. He's here. He is back this week, of course, taking all of your questions. 514-790-0800. That's your best bet to get on the line with Walter. Or you can text us at the same number, 514-790-0800. Hi, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. You were off last week. I'm happy you're back.
Yeah, I feel refreshed now.
You feel refreshed?
I just recharged the
Did
batteries.
You go to the spa? What did you do?
No.
You slept.
I actually had friends from out of town, so that was
so you had a
that
good time.
Was good, yeah. Yeah, it was a couple of days of fun stuff, but... Back to business. And I do apologize. I got a tsunami of Ask Walters.
This is what we want to get to, because since you were gone last week, a lot of people were texting in and I was redirecting them to your Ask Walter, because that, again, remind people what the Ask Walter button is.
So, I mean, it's I know that one of the issues we have with the show is we don't have enough time sometimes to go through all the callers and everything else and in different markets specifically. So you're welcome to send it to me. I will get to them at one point.
Yes.
Because sometimes the volume is way too high. But I love to hear from you guys, and I love to connect with the listeners. So it will be a pleasure. I'm just, you know, I know now it's been a bit more delayed because of the sheer volume.
Walter, get with the program. I'm kidding. The man,
fired.
You know? This man also has a family. We'll be getting to some of those Ask Walter questions as well, but we already have a first caller. The calls are coming in already. Donna is on the line. Donna, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Donna. Take it away.
Well, I live in a house that was built in 1954. The floorboards are made of white birch, but they squeak. How could I get rid of the squeaky floorboards?
Ouch.
The squeak in the floorboards.
Yeah. So there are a couple of things you want to keep in mind. The 1951, you probably have floorboards, wood boards rather than plywood. And in those years, what they used to do, they used to nail the floorboards to the joists. But unfortunately, with time, the nail kind of spiral out of position, and you start having that void that will create, if you wish, that squeakiness in the floor. So there's no easy fix. What you could attempt to do is, I don't know if... Do you have an unfinished basement underneath or an unfinished floor?
It's on the upstairs flat in a duplex.
Okay, so yeah, that makes it a problem. Because typically, you would have, let's say it would have been, you know, in the main floor and your basement is unfinished, you could have tried to screw it down from the bottom to kind of see if that actually works. I mean, the full-blown solution would have been, it's a lot more intrusive than you want to hear, but you rip out the floors, you re-screw back the floorboards, and then you install a new floor, which is not really very budget-friendly in your case. The second option would have been, that would have been the first option, to go from underneath and try to fix it if possible. Because what you want to really try to do is you want to try to bring back the floorboards to reattach to the joists. And by you not having access from underneath, that means you would have to rip out the ceilings, which is costly. So you're better off than in this case doing it from the top, and you know, it will do a much cleaner job as far as getting it done. Without really making all these noises. Because what happens from the bottom is it's restrictive. There's only so much you could do. But if you do it from the top, you could do a lot more. So what you could do is you screw down all the floorboards, and you know, if you have height issues, you could maybe add a piece of plywood, you screw it again, you put PL glue. So it makes the whole subfloor like as if it's one piece. And it's screwed and it's not nailed, so it does not spiral out of the floor joist. So you'll have that chance to do it if you're going to go with the intrusive things. Beside that, there's not much to do. I mean, if it's really, really bothersome, the other thing that I could tell you to do, if that is a cheaper way, is you could screw from the top. So you keep the hard floors on. You drive lungs through. So you're going to ruin the hardwood. You drive lungs through, screws through the hardwood to the joists. And then you install on top of that vinyl lat flooring. So that should be more budget friendly than ripping everything out and doing everything, a bit more elaborate.
Do you mean by installing a floating floor on top of the existing floor after those long screws are put
that
in?
Is correct. Because cosmetically, your floor is not going to look nice anymore. You're going to have all these screws, lined up in the hardwood floor. So it's not going to be pleasing to the eye. So what you do to kind of camouflage that, you go with a vinyl lat flooring right on top.
Okay, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Donna, thank you so much for that call. We've got David on the line. David, can you hear us?
I hear you fine, thank you.
Take it away.
Walter, I want to ask you a question. I have a humidifier on my furnace in the basement. In the summertime, I remove it, I put a big piece of plastic, and I put it back on so that the air conditioning doesn't leak in the furnace room. This winter, we're not going to be in the house from November to March. Is it a bad thing if I don't humidify the house, even if we're not here?
So, I mean, yes and no. The quick answer for your the humidity in the house for the components should be playing around the 50 to 55 mark at all times. That's summer and winter. When it doesn't, anything that is wood tend to expand and contract. So let's say you have cabinet doors that are made out of wood. Homes that are not properly, humidified, you tend to start seeing the if you want the junctions in the door, so all the lines start showing. If you have hardwood floors, you see it starts to open up more. So the house itself will suffer. It will kind of retake back its position in most cases as far as flooring back in the summer when it's humid. But you're going to get that material to work a lot more than it should. So is it a good idea? Not really. It's always recommended that you humidify, but if you have no choice, you have no choice, unfortunately.
Oh, I have a choice. I just wanted to know if it was necessary. Thank you for the answer. And
so what you do, I mean, what are you worried about? Why you don't want to put it on?
I'm not worried about it. It was just the work of taking off the piece, removing the plastic, and then rewiring it and doing it again next summer. If we're not here from November till March, I just thought maybe it didn't matter.
But why do you have to do that every summer? Why don't you just turn it off in the summer?
I turn it off, but because it has a fan and because there's a hole in the ductwork for the humidifier to work, I get leakage of air conditioning downstairs in the basement. By closing it off, I have a lot less leakage, a lot less cold air in the basement, in the furnace room, because there's a hole in the ductwork in the ducts that give the house the air. Where the humidifier has a fan and it blows.
I mean, I get it, but I mean, that's not really normal that you get a leakage because you have a humidifier and a hole. That's where I'm not following. Have you got that checked? Because again, it's a lot of homes have the same type of setup, and having a water damage is not really part of the deal.
No water damage, absolutely no water damage. It's just cold air leaking out of the fan. In the winter, when the humidifier is not working, the fan is there. There's still a hole in the fan. So if we're air conditioning the house, a lot of the cold air comes out in the furnace room. I found it helps a lot to take it off and put a plastic barrier in between to keep the cold air from leaking in that room downstairs.
Yeah.
But nothing short of a half hour work,
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, all I want to tell you, David, if you can put it on, please do, because the ramifications of not putting it on might be not what you're going to like.
Okay.
Especially if we have a very cold winter.
All right.
Shana tova to everybody.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. 514-790-0800. That is the number to call Walter Assey, or you can text us as well. We got some text messages coming in. Oh, we have so much fun here, Walter Assey and myself. This is the Home Improvement Show, your chance to ask Walter Assey from Renovco all of your most hard-hitting renovation questions. 514-790-0800, that's the phone number, and also the text line. And Joanne is my name, but also Joanne is on the line, and she's got a question about an air exchanger. Joanne, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you for taking my call.
Take it away.
I moved into a new condo about 3 months ago, and the first month and a half, the air exchanger was working really well. It's one that you could activate by pushing the bathroom switch. And there's also another switch with three power levels. I always leave it on intermediate, the lowest selection. But I've noticed in the last month or so, it never shuts off. It will run 24 hours a day. And the only way I can shut it off now is by going to my electrical panel and shutting the breaker. I just can't seem to turn it off any other way.
So a couple of things. A lot of these have different settings. You have a setting which says continuous mode or okay. intermittent mode. You want to yes. be on intermittent mode all the time, never on exactly. continuous mode. Is that where you're at?
Yeah, because when it's by light color and green is intermittent and it's on green, and yet it still will never shut off.
So possibly you have a problem with the thermostat itself. Because okay. at intermittent, it's supposed to automatically shut off when it gets to the setting that you want it to be at. Okay. If it's not, then, you know, and you've done the right thing, which is impressive, that you actually did turn off the breaker and to kind of reset the machine.
Yeah.
And you turn it back on again 10, 15 minutes later. That, if it's done already and is still doing this, then it's a very good chance that you have an issue with the thermostat itself.
Okay, because it's the first time I have an air exchanger. Where would I even know where the thermostat is?
Well, it depends. Because you're in a condo, sometimes it's a bit, sometimes it's right next to the machine itself. Like it's usually a switch on the wall, right? Sometimes it's actually connected to the bathroom unit. So it could okay. be in the bathroom. Some condos put them in the bathroom. So you just have to kind of walk around. Or simply, okay. if you're in a condo building, you can easily ask the janitor or your neighbors. I'm sure some of them have had issues with that before. Where do you have it? What's your setting at right now? Like, where do you have it set at?
It's the machine itself.
Yeah.
It's located right beside my laundry room. It's like a room divided in two, and it's right beside the washer dryer.
So, I mean, look, from if you look at what generally you'll see in condos, it's like I said, it's either a wall switch, sometimes in the bathroom timer switch itself, you'll find it there,
okay.
Or in some type of a control panel. These are like the three possible locations in a condo unit.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you don't, you know, like I said, probably it's better that you ask either the janitor in the condo building or a neighbor. But okay. if you are on intermittent mode, I mean, you're doing everything right from a DIY standpoint. You've turned off the panel, you've turned it back on. So there's not much besides start, you know, opening up stuff and being a bit more adventurous. There's not much you could do from your end.
Yeah. Okay. So I would have to call someone in.
You would have to call someone in. I want to just make sure that you locate the actual thermostat first and make sure that everything is on the right settings.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
All right, I'll go and I'll look for that. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks for that, Joanne. Lydia is on the line right now, and she has a question about her roofing insulation. Lydia, can you hear us?
Yes, we do. Yes, I do.
Hi. Take it away.
Hi. I want to do a new roof, and at the same time, they said I could change my insulation, the pink wool. Is that feasible, or do I have to do that from the inside?
That's a very good question. So there are many ways that you could... Is it flat roof?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's many ways that you could do that. You could add insulation on the roof decking itself, which is something I don't like, and I'm going to explain you in 2 seconds. So I'm going to, I might confuse you more than help you in what I'm going to tell you, but then I'm going to try to unconfuse you again.
Okay.
So some roofers, what they will do is they will ask to add more insulation on the decking. So you put like styrofoam, 2-inch styrofoam, and then you will do your roofing. If you do have existing, that works if you don't have existing roofing, existing insulation in your attic. But if you do, it's not actually recommended because it creates like a condensation pocket between the insulation. You're going to have a void and then you're going to have insulation on top. So whatever is in between is going to create condensation. So it's going to actually be worse off than it's going to be helpful.
Okay.
What you want is you want the insulation to be as close to the interior as possible for it to work adequately. So where the vapor barrier is. Now, when you're doing the roofing, you can, instead of doing the work from the inside, what you could do is you could take out the roof and the decking. So whatever the plywood that is there or a press wood, you take all of that out.
Yeah.
And then you can add insulation from the top.
Okay. Put all fresh insulation. Will
too? That they could do that too. Now, the tricky part is you want to find a roofer that is willing to do that. Not all of them are.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that they poke their head through the attic to see what kind of insulation you have. How old is your insulation in your attic, by the way?
Oh, since the house was built, 89, from 89.
Okay, so that's good news. Because if you would have told me 50s, 60s, I would have told you, you know, maybe asbestos, vermiculite, whatever. Okay. So that's good news. There's probably no chance that it is asbestos. So it's probably more likely fiberglass. The other thing you want to look at, and that's also preemptively, before they open up and start hitting you with surprises, because... Once they're there and, you know, and then they start giving you crazy prices, you can't say no. You have an open roof. So what you do is you ensure that they look through the attic to see if it is blown in or bad insulation.
No, it's bad insulation. I know that because I already had water damage. So I know it's pink wool there.
But it's bats. It's not blown in.
It's bad, yes.
That is beautiful, because if it would have been blown in, they would have charged you a fortune to get rid of it, especially from the top. Okay, it's not as easy. So bad insulation is easier to get rid of. Yeah. Where you're going to really spend more money is in the manual labor of putting it, and more importantly, in the decking. Because right now, in most cases, when you replace a roof, you don't replace the decking with it. You just do the, you know, you only replace the rotten areas. In this case, you would have to take it all out.
Right.
But it's a chance that you can get to it right now. And, you know, just make sure that you put, if you can and you have the space for it, you go up to R50.
Because 50?
Yeah, 50. That's what the new code for attics is right now.
Okay, for a flat roof.
Okay. Correct. For any type of attic insulation, really.
Okay.
Lydia, thank you so much for your call. We're continuing to take your calls, 514-790-0800. That is the best way to reach Walter Assey, again, president of Renovco. We've got some text messages coming in. If you've texted, feel free to call as well. We're going to get to all of you. This is the Home Improvement Show. Hey, welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey is standing by, taking all of your home improvement questions. He is, of course, the president of Renovco. If you're in another market listening to us and you're saying, I can't call in right now, you can always head on over to the Renovco website, and there is a button there. It says Ask Walter, and him and his team, they do try to get to all of your questions as much as possible. Kimberly has been waiting quite patiently on the line, and Kimberly has a question about wood cladding. Kimberly, take it away.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I listen to the show all the time, so
that's
I have
great,
a lot of
Kimberly.
Respect for Walter's opinion. So my problem is I have wood cladding siding. So instead of aluminum siding, I have wood cladding. And it's 8 years old, the house. So the product's only about 8 years old. And it's starting to curl and fall off. And not discolor. It seems to be, the color seems to be still beautiful. But I need to change it. But I'm also looking right now for very reputable installers, but at the same time, an engineer a professional who can tell me, was it badly installed, or also is it the product that has a defect in it? Because that would be my next step.
Okay, so let's start with the product. Do you know what the product is?
Yes.
You want to say what the product is?
It's the name of it?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a Lambry, a Maybeck Lambry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's stop right there. So Maybeck guarantees their product for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good news for you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a technical team. So before you start spending money on an engineer and everything else, what you want to do is you want to reach out to Maybeck Technical first.
Mm-hmm.
Maybeck Technical will have to send you an expert.
Mm-hmm.
The strengths of the Maybeck product is the way they dry their wood and then how they apply their paint afterwards. And that's what they pride themselves on. It's a very good product. It works very well. But you might have those exceptions here and there. It's like cars. Sometimes you get a lemon by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So, we can discount that completely. The technical person that they're going to send you from Maybeck should be able to determine what happened. If it's the product itself, they should pay you to replace it, or they just send you the product in most cases, which
uh-huh.
is a big load off your shoulders, because that's going to cost a lot to buy. It's not cheap to buy Maybeck.
I've gotten the quotes, I know.
That's number one. So number two is you will also get an insight on the install and the installation itself. Now,
mm-hmm.
Is this a new build or something that you renovated 8 years ago?
No, it's a brand new build. And I'll go a step further.
Yeah.
I've already gone that route, like you've suggested, which is get in touch with them. The product is guaranteed 25 years. They sent their specialist, and they said it was poorly installed.
Okay.
So they've kind of washed their hands of it because of, here's the manual, and they didn't follow the norms of installation. However, I've had a lot of contractors come to look at the house to give me quotes, which are phenomenal, because I can either, it's not necessarily everywhere, but if I don't change everything, it could continue the problem in areas. So I'm better off changing everything, in my opinion, versus just where it's showing damage now. And a lot of the contractors have also said that, well, they've seen this in other cases. And sometimes it has to do with the wood not being dried enough, or it was wet, or so. I'd like to have a professional come to tell me also that, well, maybe it is the product as well.
Okay, so let me just circle back. So the likelihood of Maybeck sending wet wood is very rare. I've never seen that case. What I've seen though is the installers not following guidelines of Maybeck installation guide. And one of the more important ones would be using the right nails that Maybeck sells, because they have to be waterproof and humidity proof and rust proof nails. So if not, those tend to rust, corrode, and then they start to rot the wood from within. Mm-hmm. I've also seen a lot of cases where the installers do not use the touch-up cans that Maybach gives for all the cut edges. So when you cut a Maybach, you are now exposing part of the wood that is not protected with the paint. Mm-hmm. What Maybach does is they give you a whole bunch of touch-up paints with their kit.
Exactly. Yes.
And you have to paint it in order to cover, because, I mean, really what protects the wood is the paint. The wood itself, mm-hmm. by itself, cannot be protected mm-hmm. against the weather. It doesn't matter how much it's dried and this and that. So mm-hmm. I've seen that a lot, unfortunately. And it's a forgotten thing. They just, I guess, I don't know what happens to them, but, I mean, they think it's just they give extra paint. So the nails is one thing that you want to look. These are what you call the low-bearing fruits of what could be the issue. Mm-hmm. The other thing would be the touch-ups. And then you go into the more elaborate installation. So when they say it wasn't properly installed, what is the reason that they gave you?
Well, for instance, if I need three nails on one panel or on one joint, mm-hmm. then maybe only one was put in or two was put in versus the three.
Okay.
As an example.
Okay. So,
that's just one example of it not being.
Give us another example, just to kind of have a.
That's offhand, without reading one of the reports at this moment or having it on hand. I mean, that's. I can't think of anything else.
Okay. So.
but there were more reasons, but that was the primary reason.
Okay. So the key in what you told me is that the paint itself does not look bad. It's the curling,
and pieces falling off, but definitely the curling.
Okay, so this is what I suspect happened. One more proof that it's not actually the dryness of the wood itself, rather than it's the installation. So when you don't follow, and that's why we tell all the renovators out there, if you installed one, you haven't installed them all. When you mm-hmm. buy a brand, always read the installation manual of the manufacturer. That's like super important. That could save you lawsuits. That could save the homeowner lots and lots of money. And unfortunately, that doesn't always happen.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is very simple. When you don't anchor the Maybach adequately into the fairing strips, that's gonna allow it to vibrate and to have, if you want, gaps, especially when it's like when you have windy rain, like wind-driven
right.
rain.
Right.
So that the water and the ice, and especially like in those mild days in the winter, goes behind the Maybach and freezes and it expands, and mm-hmm. that's when you start having the Maybach getting dislodged from its original location, and then the curling and everything else. Mm-hmm. So most likely than not, it is an installer's issue.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a new build, so there is a good chance that you could have some type of... maybe we'll do the break and then come back, because we're just going to explain you certain
things. Yeah, Kimberly, hold on the line, by the way, 514-790-0800. That is the phone number to reach Walter Assey on the Home Improvement Show. Again, Walter's president of Renovco. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. 514-790-0800, your chance to ask Walter Assey all of your home improvement questions. We got some text messages coming in, but Kimberly was on the line because she was in the process of getting answers. It's multi-layered answers to her question. So, Walter, remind everyone where we're at.
So, yeah, have you tried to reach out to the builder?
Yes.
And?
No answer.
But they're still in business?
No, they, well, not, two of them have gone, I think, belly up. but
what do you mean? Yeah. How many builders did you hire?
They had multiple company names. So
that's never a good
sign.
But
definitely, and then they used a subcontractor for this.
Yeah, well, doesn't matter. It's right. What you want to do is you want to try to reach out to either the ACQ or the APCHQ. So whoever gave you the guarantee of the mise en œuvre, which is by law, it's a thing that have to happen. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you reach mm-hmm. out to them, because now the cautionnement, even if this guy went out of business, should be in their hands,
mm-hmm.
the bond. Okay,
right.
So mm-hmm. they will send you a technical person to kind of look into that. Now the key in this is 5 years, and you're at 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to prove, it's a bit of a long shot, but what you want to prove is this is a problem that occurred from day one. So technically, it should be within that, envelope of the warranty, although the warranty is expired.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, it's a long shot, but I would throw everything at it if I were you before mm-hmm. I start undertaking this myself and paying money.
Right.
You might get lucky somehow. If you are going to hire an engineering firm for any reason, then you would have to hire what you call forensic engineers. It's not just any engineer.
Right.
There are companies out there that they do very good work, not mm-hmm. cheap, not cheap at all, because, you know, they would have to get the product tested in labs and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But they create very good reports and very solid reports as far as like courts are concerned. Specifically, if you deal with some of these companies that have, you know, the habit of dealing with insurance companies, mm-hmm. because insurance companies have a lot of that, like causes of fires and causes of degradation and liabilities and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So to get there, unfortunately, the expertise becomes very costly and cost prohibitive. So I don't really know how much of it is going to be worth it for you. If you put the price tag of your Maybach versus mm-hmm. how much you're going to pay the expert and then the lawyers to get to that finish line. So what I would try to do is a lot of DIY, like do it yourself until you can't do it anymore. And then maybe, start. Yeah, go ahead.
With the APCHQ, and the other one was ACQ?
It depends on the builder where they bought the warranty from. Now, when you bought the house, they should have given you that paperwork. If not, you could reach out to both organizations. You give the address, and mm-hmm. then they might be able to track down, based on the address, the warranty. And what you say at the beginning, Kimberly, is super important. You say, this is a problem that occurred from day one. The installation was done wrong from day one. Now it's really showing itself. But so don't like say, I just saw it this year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Say that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have curling. I didn't understand what was going on. And now I understand from day one when it was installed wrong. And let them send you the technical expert. And now that you have the Maybach expertise, that's going to help you. You hand it to the guy
mm-hmm.
From the APCHQ or the ACQ so they can build up their report accordingly.
It sounds like perfect. Kimberly's taking notes while I can hear the little computer.
I am. I definitely am. I'm writing with a pen and paper in my car. Yes.
You know, this show is recorded. You don't have to take notes, right?
As long as she's doing it safely. Listen, Kimberly, thank you so much for calling, and hopefully it all works out for you.
Thank you so much for the answers. I appreciate it. I'll definitely try that route. Thank
all right.
You.
And you keep us posted.
Okay.
51. Thank you. 514-790-0800. We've got a text message, a few text messages coming in here. I would like Walter's opinion. I'm thinking of putting a French drain along the back of my house. It has been suggested to get an interior one. How well does an interior French drain work versus the exterior one? Don't know which one to choose.
I'm not a big fan of interior French drains because you're inviting the water in from the outside to canalize it, you know, somewhere. I'm more an exterior French drain type of a guy just because I don't like to invite the water into my home. Mm. And then, you know, and they're both as intrusive. The cost factor, if you have a finished basement, might be as as expensive as the exterior.
So why did they start putting them inside then?
It's because when you have, for example, pavers outside or a swimming pool, and becomes extremely expensive, and you have no choice, then you do it this way. If you don't, I would say definitely do it from the outside, because there's a lot of added value when you do it from the outside. Number one, you go all the way down to the footing. You are remembraning your foundation, because we have to understand that this foundation in most cases is very old, and the gudrun, the tar that they put to...
So it's like a second layer protection.
Well, I mean, yeah, because initially what they did in those days, they would put tar on the concrete, because concrete is porous, and with time, the tar deteriorates, and then the foundation becomes porous again.
Mm.
So when you dig from the outside, you reapply the tar or any type of membrane, and then elastomeric membrane, and then you could put the delta membrane, which protects that membrane, and also prevents hydrostatic pressure if you have any weaknesses in your foundation from the water penetrating through. So that's the key. So that you can get to do all of these steps if you do it from the outside.
Okay.
You can do that from the inside. The other thing is you expose the full foundation, and now you can see if there's any holes, any cracks, you can inject them. So that part becomes, if you want, brand new, and you don't have to worry about it for the next 50 years. It's done. When you do have French drain from the inside, the only thing you're doing is any water that's coming from the footing, it goes in and gets canalized to the sump pump and gets pumped out. But anything that is coming through the foundation from the upper part of the foundation, that is not protected. You don't have a membrane, you don't have a delta, you have nothing.
It's like the Oscars, they're playing us out.
Again.
I'd like to thank the Academy. I want to thank you, Walter Assi. And if you're listening from a different market and didn't have a chance to call in, remember, on the Renovco website, there's an Ask Walter button. Walter, have a great week.
Thank you. And just a reminder, I will be sitting on my Ask Walter sometime this week. I asked my assistant to book it accordingly so I can answer some of these. I know it's a tsunami. It's a lot. I'm going to get to as much as I can.
He's so popular. All right. Have a good one. We'll chat again next Saturday.
Take care.